Let's open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Maybe some of you already know what's in this chapter. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verse 21 to the end of the chapter. And so I'd just ask again, if you're physically able, you would stand as we read these verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 33. The Bible reads, verse 21, Ephesians chapter 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we just thank you for the wonderful opportunity and chance you gave us to come to your house. Just meet together with other believers, meet together with you, meet together with your word. Now we need your help. The word needs to be preached. We need you to preach it. Just speak it through your servant. Lord, speak to me and through me this morning. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you. Be seated. Okay, so I'm sure we've seen this chapter before. And, it's a good marriage chapter. Husband and wife. And so we're going to look at it this morning. And, I'm not the marriage expert. Probably some of you all have been married longer than I have. But, and I haven't done everything right in my marriage. But you know what? Here's the expert on marriages. It's right here. Right here. This is the expert. Whether the person talking to you is an expert or not, the Word of God is an expert. There's nothing wrong in this. And so we want to look at marriage this morning. And some of you younger ones, I see this young guy here. He's looking at me, the singer here. What is your name? Court? Okay. I don't think you're married yet, are you? So you're probably thinking, well, I might as well go on out to Sunday school class or go out here and play because marriage, you know, I'm not in it. You know, not yet, okay? And don't need to get in a rush either, okay? You'll get there, okay? But anyway, some of you that are not married yet, a lot of us here are already married. So we're going to look at some things with marriage. But I want to take it this morning. It's not a marriage seminar, okay? Because I would not be here. I'd be sitting back there, okay? But I want to take the same thing with marriage and compare it to your relationship to your spouse as your relationship to your church. Okay, so it's going to sort of be a double barrel shotgun here, okay? It's going to do marriage and your relationship to your church, okay? So let's look at these verses here. First thing I just want to point out here, in picking your spouse, you need for God to pick your spouse, okay? Let God pick your spouse. Now keep your finger right there in Ephesians, but look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Proverbs 18, 22. Proverbs 18, verse 22. The Bible says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Let the Lord choose your spouse. And I don't know for any of you all that are married, that I'm sure there's probably one or two of you have probably never had any problem since you got married. You probably, some, a couple of you probably never had a second thought, I wonder if I did the right thing. I wonder if I should have really married this one. But when God, you allow God to choose that spouse, no matter what happens or what you go through, or again, as we spoke in a Sunday school, no matter how your emotions feel, your emotions, don't base anything in your life on your emotions. That's a crazy roller coaster. I don't know if you go up here to Cliffs, but it's crazier than anything they got at Cliffs, okay? Your emotions. But when God chooses for you, no matter what happens or what goes through, you don't ever have to go back and say, I think I made a bad choice. God made the choice for me, and God's going to see me through this. And God has allowed whatever is happening here in our marriage. But allow God to choose your spouse for you. And when you allow God to choose, you're not going to say, I think I made a bad choice. You're not going to regret, because God chose for you. Amen. But that's the exact same thing in church. Yeah. You allow God to choose your church. Amen. And where you go to church. As we said there in Haiti, we got like about 5,000 people. It's one little gravel stretch. All the houses are on that. And then behind it's banana fields. And there's 13 churches. Now, most of them are splits off of each other because everybody's related in that neighborhood. It's all one big family. So when they have family feuds, they just break off and start another church is what they do. And so they're there. But as we're in that neighborhood witnessing, sharing Christ, sometimes we don't even invite them to church. I don't know if that's good. We just share Christ with them. They already know who we are. They know where we're at. But when we do invite them, we tell them very particular, come visit our church. But we don't say, even though, as we already said, we're the only ones preaching saved by grace. Everybody else, baptism and works. Okay, but we say, come and visit. And if you feel God wants you in this church, then we'll talk about you becoming part of this church. But if God doesn't want you here, I don't want you here either. I'm sorry. I don't want to be ugly and mean, but I don't want you here either. If God doesn't want you here. When you choose your church by any other thing than God Himself choosing for you, you're not going to last. You're going to be problems. Because what you're looking for, it may be there for a time. What made you choose this church may be there for a time, and then it may change. If you come to our church in Haiti because of the white boy there, the American, well, there's actually another group up the road that's got some Americans in it. They're pretty transitional. Every couple weeks they're changing. But if you're there, well, there's some. What's going to happen when they got more white people up there than we got? Then you're going to leave and go up there. If you're coming here in our neighborhood, you're coming here for music, louder music, wilder music. Well, even if we put all that crazy stuff in the church, then the church down the road is going to get crazier and louder and crank it up a little higher than that, and then you're going to leave. If you're here for a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a family member, any other reason, something's going to happen to that reason. But when you choose the church that God, that you're going to be in and serve in and attend faithfully and be part of, allow God to choose that. Amen. When God chooses, does that mean there's going to be a church with no problems? Well, when you got there's going to be problems. If I'm here, there's going to be problems, okay? We are people. Right. If you're running for a problem, oh, man, this church doesn't have any problem. Everybody just loves each other. If you get there, there's going to be problems. But when God chooses you, no matter what happens, when God chooses for you, your church, this is the church God wants me in, then When there are the problems, the little squabbles or something going on, right? You know, the music. I'm tired of recorded music. It's time to, what do we? Those aren't a problem because right. God put me here.
Right. Amen.
God put me here. Let's look at back in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at marriage again. First, let God choose that spouse for you. There's going to be some troubles, there's going to be some problems, but when God chose for you, you're not going to run away from her or from him. There's no church without problems. Let God choose your church for you. This is where I believe with all my heart God wants me to be. And then there's not going to be running and going everywhere. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In marriage, there's got to be submission. Now here, you see, the main part you see everybody catches right away is wives, submit yourselves to your husband. Oh, amen. Husband, right? Husband, I got some amens here for me.
Amen.
All right. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Well, there is submission.
Amen.
And the wife is to submit herself to her husband. But did you catch the verse right before it? Verse 21. There's a little extra there. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Does that mean that the wife is to dictate around and tell the husband what to do and he just sort of tags along and, well, whatever she says to do, I'm going to do? No, but there is a time for the husband to submit. You say, well, now, wait a minute. Think about Christ. You remember him going to the cross? He had all the power of heaven. Of the angels. When those soldiers came and arrested him, when they were beating him, when they were crucifying, he had all the power. He was their creator. They were to submit to him. He had all the power to destroy and kill him. But he submitted to their torture and death to gain something way bigger. And there's sometimes that the husband... it's not the principles of the house, but there's some things. Well, this room's going to be blue and orange because I'm a Bronco fan. Man, I can't stand orange. I'm not putting orange in my house. Well, I'm the man of the house, you submit. Wait a minute. Husband, why don't you just give a little to gain something bigger?
Yeah.
A great relationship. Wife, I love you. And if you don't like orange, I'm a Bronco fan. You want to throw up white? I hate Cowboys. But no, I'm not speaking personally. Well, I don't like them too much either. But anyway. But something, that's an example. There needs to be submission. But in your church, there better be some submission. There better be some submission. God has chosen the pastor. The pastor is a gift to your church. I was talking to Pastor McMath this week. Talking about a church up Harvest Baptist Church in Clayton, New Mexico. And Pastor was explaining to me, there's a lot of churches in New Mexico without a pastor. When your church has a pastor, that is a gift that God has given to your church. And when God has placed him there, and there is to be submission.
Amen.
Keep your finger there in Ephesians chapter 5, but you look back at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. The Bible reads, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. As they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. There's to be submission in church. And listen to this closely. Submission and obedience are different. Submission and obedience are different. I've got the four girls here at home. They can obey me without submitting. I can force them to do what I tell them to do. But inside, their spirit is, I don't want to do this. Yeah. I don't want to be doing it.
Right.
But submission is, I want to obey.
Right.
I want to do this. In a marriage, there's got to be some submission. Yeah, well, I don't want to do this, but I don't want to do it. That's not submission. That's obedience because you got forced to do it. But it's not submission. And in the church, there needs to be submission. God has placed the pastor here. He is an under-shepherd. He is guiding the flock the way God wants him to do. And in the church, there's got to be submission. Obeying. Sometimes you may not understand the pastor. Sometimes you may not understand a decision. That doesn't mean that we can't communicate with him. But when there's that decision to be made, and it needs to be made, I'm going to obey with a willing heart. I want to. Maybe I don't understand pastor's decision, but he is my pastor. And I'm going to obey because he is my pastor.
Amen.
There needs to be submission in a church. But look at back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Look at marriage again. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Here in marriage, in the context of marriage, the husband is to love his wife. He's to love her. He says it. He shows it. He loves his wife by desiring to be with her. He loves her with his eyes. His eyes aren't everywhere else on other women.
Amen.
The husband is to love his wife. There's got to be that love in a marriage. But we turn it over to the church. There better be love in the church.
Amen.
First of all, you ask, you're saved. Somebody wants to come get baptized at our church. I say, is this where you're going to go to church? I don't need to baptize you, and you're going to the church right down the road. You know, you better pray and say, God, is this where I'm going to be baptized? Is this where I'm going to be a member? But when God has chosen that church for you, this is your church. Love your church.
Amen.
Love your church. Just as the husband is to love his wife, he says he loves his church, but he shows it in action. It's words, it's actions. A husband is to love his wife. He desires to be with her.
Yeah, that's right.
If you don't love her, you don't want to be around her too much. You know? I was like, man, I can't wait till you're out of the house. I can't wait to go to work, man, and get out of here. I'm like, man, that's a long drive home. You know? Oh, man. No, you love to be with her. Do you love to be with your church? Did not God choose this church for you? Every time the doors open, I want to be there. There's something that happens beyond your control. You can't be here. Man, it hurts. You know when you love your wife? And husbands love your wives, but even your wives, when you love your husband, when you're apart a little time, doesn't it sort of hurt? You miss it. Man, I want to. We are to love our church. If there's something that comes up and we miss a service, it's beyond our control. It's like, my week just doesn't feel right. I love my church. And the husband's eyes aren't supposed to be everywhere else. What about our church?
Right.
God chose this church for us. Our eyes are to be on our church. Not looking at the church down the road or up the road or everywhere. Oh, they're having a concert down there. Well, I wonder where Brother So-and-so is tonight.
Yeah.
I wonder. Oh, and then it's the next week. Oh, I was down at the concert. Oh, it's a good Baptist church. Well, she may have been a pretty lady, but that's not your wife.
Amen.
It may have been a nice concert, but that wasn't your church.
Amen.
Now, if the whole church decides we're going down as a church body to go down and hear the concert, well, then that's a church decision. You're going alone. Or you're going together.
Evangelist so-and-so, the world's fattest evangelist is here. I got to go hear him preach over at this church on the other side of town. I'm just going to say,
no, that is not your church.
That's right.
God chose the church for you. Right. Keep your eyes on your own church.
Amen.
Well, they got such a man. They got a bigger choir. They got, No, your eyes. This is the church God chose for me.
Amen.
Love your church. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look back at marriage. Verse number 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. The husband in marriage is responsible to take care of the family.
Amen.
To take care of them. And I know everybody, and this is not my point of the message, has their feeling on whether the woman should work or not. But whether you think she should work or work not, or whether the wife works or not, but it's still the man's responsibility to take care of that family, to take care of the needs of that family. He is responsible to care for his wife, for his family. To do that, he must think of her needs too, not just what he wants. Oh man, I got the paycheck, so I'm going to get season tickets to wherever, or I'm gonna go get my new boat, and maybe God will provide for some of those extra things, but you better make sure you think of your wife first.
Amen.
And there's some needs that need to be taken care of. You need to think of her. For the wife, you need to think of the husband some too. Sometimes you take the credit card and head to the store and forget, wait a minute, maybe there's some things we need at home. But the same thing in the church. Just as the husband is responsible to take care of the wife and the family, God has chosen this church for you. You are responsible to take care of your church.
Amen.
God gave this church a pastor. He is the shepherd. But I heard a saying that was sort of interesting. I haven't completely thought it all the way through. I'm going to just pop it out anyway. But I heard it saying, it said, shepherds don't produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. And I know many times, why I say that is, many times we think, he's the pastor, he's the one supposed to be out witnessing, inviting people to church, to have people and visitors in this church. This is my church. God chose this church for me. I need to take care of my church. If I haven't seen visitors for a couple weeks, I need to take a little extra time and get out here.
Amen.
And start inviting people. Not just wait for Pastor. Oh, Pastor, that's what you're here for. You're supposed to go get all these people. Well, we got this new church plant we want to start. So, Pastor, you need to just go find some of your preacher friends and get a bunch of money, because we're going to have some expenses here. So you got to just... wait a minute. This is our church.
Amen.
This is our mission. What can I do to take care of my church and the ministries of this church? God chose this church for me. I'm not going to just throw it all off on the pastor. It's my church. I'm going to help take care of it. But look again at Ephesians chapter 5. Look back to marriage, verse 31. Says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. In marriage, there's got to be some leaving behind. Says here, the husband, the man, he's to leave his father and his mother.
Amen.
Now, I know mothers. I got four brothers, so it's five boys, and I got one sister. Mothers are jealous for their sons. They never think the woman they married is good enough for them. Well, they can't take care of them like I used to take care of my boy. Now, I don't see that quite as much with the girls, but the boys, you know. And then the father's there, and he sort of wants to say, you know, I've experienced life, and it's good for fathers to give counsel to their sons. And, you know, younger, they may be married already, but yet, sometimes father wants to take too much control. They want to take too much control. And so the Bible ordained, God ordained that the man is to leave his father and mother, come out from that home, and now you're establishing your own home. And this man now is not, he's still to honor his father and mother, but he's not under them, he's under directly under God, and a new family has begun. And there's got to be some leaving behind. In marriage, if that man, and I'm sure you've seen this before, the man lives at home. He's married and lives at home still. And he's trying to live with mom and dad. And mom's always, you know, the mother-in-law is always trying to boss my wife around. And it's a mess. For a wedding or for a marriage to go properly, there's got to be some leaving behind.
Amen.
Leave your father and mother and be joined to your wife. And when we look at the church, there's got to be some leaving behind. There's got to be some leaving behind. First of all, your old life.
Amen.
When you get saved, you become part of the church, you become part of this church, everywhere you go, you carry the name of Christ on your back, you carry the name of this church on your back.
That's right. Amen.
I know people, again, sports, football season about to start. Man, it's time you're going to put your jerseys on. I'm a Bengals fan. That's who I am, you know. There ain't no Bengals fans around here. Put my Bengals jersey on, Carson Palmer or A.J. Green. Or, you know, y'all put your, whoever, your Cowboys. You put your jerseys on because you want to identify who you are. I'm a fan of this team. Everywhere you go, if you're saved and part of this church, you carry your jersey. Christ Liberty Baptist Church.
Yeah.
You've got to leave that old world behind.
Amen.
There's got to be something. If you try, just like a newlywed couple, and then they try to live with mom and dad, there's just going to be some problems. And you get saved, you pray, God, where do you want me to get baptized? Where do you want me to be part of this church? And you're here, and yet you're trying to still hang on to the world. There's going to be some problems.
Amen.
There's going to be some problems. But listen again, and leaving behind. You've got to leave behind your old church too. You may have been a member of a good church. But if God has called you here, don't try to play two churches.
Yeah.
Don't try to play two. Your parents may have been great parents. They may have raised you great. You respect and honor your parents, but you get married and try to live in their home still, you can't do it.
Amen.
You may have come from a great church. And I know in Albuquerque, this is not the only church. And there's some other good churches. But if God has called you to this church, this is your church. Be married to this church. Don't keep trying to play too. We started our first church there in Haiti. We had a brother. He was a pastor's son. He'd been going to another church, but he wanted to sort of help us along, help us get this church started. But he was trying to play too. And he still wanted to work in the youth group at the old church. But yet sometimes he'd be at ours, and then sometimes he'd be down there, and sometimes he was at ours and trying to play too. I said, brother, you need to choose. That church has been there a while. That time, I think that church was about 15 years old, had a good pastor, had a good program going. I said, if that's where God wants you to be, and continue being youth pastor there, then continue there. But if this is where God wants you to be in this church that we've just started, that doesn't have all those services, that doesn't have all the youth programs and all those, but if God wants you here, then you need to be here 100%. Because when God chooses that church for you, there's got to be some leaving behind. You got to leave the world behind, your old life behind. But then you, if you were part of another church, and it may have been a great church, you may have had great parents, but when God marries you to this church, you've got to leave the other behind. This is where God has put me. This is my church. And lastly, to close, look at, we read verse 31 already. This verse, I want to just take it. It's in marriage. It's not exactly right in this passage, but it goes with marriage. And I want to bring it up with church. In Matthew chapter 19, this is our last verse, verse 5 and 6. Matthew 19, verse 5 and 6. Bible says, and he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let not man put asunder. When God puts a man and a wife together, what God puts together, don't let any man put apart. I know there's divorce court. I know it's getting easier and easier. But that's not God separating. That's man separating. What God has put together, let not man put asunder. Let not God put apart. God chose that wife for you. God chose that husband for you. Till death do we part. Two have become one. They can't be two again. When God chooses that church for you, the way I teach it in Haiti, but as I was preparing this message, I thought of another. I say there's only two reasons for you to ever lose your church or leave your church. When God chooses this church for you, our church is called the Baptist Church of Digmater. I said there's only two reasons you should ever leave this church. One, you move to another area. If people cannot walk to our church in Haiti, you walk. That's your distance of reaching people. People in walking distance. If you can't walk, if you've moved and you're so far away that you cannot walk to this church, then you need to find a local church. Don't be a member of our church when we're about an hour and a half from, hour and 45 minutes from the capital city. They leave our area and move into the capital. I say, here's a letter of transfer. I'm going to try to find you a good Baptist church in there. I don't want you in Port-au-Prince an hour and a half away and a member of our church, because you may be here Sunday morning, but that's it. You need to be a member of a local church. So for you to leave this church, if you move far away where you cannot be an active member and participate in the services, maybe you can show up Sunday morning, but that's it. Find a church closer to you. Okay? You can leave the church for that. Or second reason you leave this church is because we start preaching false doctrine. If you see this church starts preaching false doctrine, you get up and leave. If this preacher starts preaching things that are not in the Bible, you leave. Don't stay here. Preparing as much as I thought, well, I guess death could work in there too. I didn't put that in. I talk to people before they become members of the church. I tell them there's only two reasons. I never included death. I say, well, okay, I guess I got to put that in there, death. If you die, you don't have to remain a member. I know there's some churches back over in Kentucky, they got members that have been dead for 100 and some years, and they're still members of the church, you know. But those reasons. Why? Because God put you here. What God has put together, God has joined you to this church. Let not man put asunder. Amen. We can have every reason in the world to leave and get mad. I'm out of here. Man, there's plenty of churches in Albuquerque. No, did God choose this church for you? If he chose it for you, what God has put together, let not man put asunder. Only reason is if you move to another place far enough away that I cannot be actively involved in this church. I cannot be faithful in all the services, or false doctrine starts getting preached here. Then you can leave. But other than that, what God's put together, stay here. God has given us these things for marriage. I'm not perfect. I'm not a marriage counselor at all. And there's things that I haven't done right. But God's word is perfect. You want to have a good marriage? Just obey what's in there. Just obey what God put in there. You want to have a good church? Just do what God put right there. God has chosen His church for you. This is the one. This is the place God wants you to be. Let's bow for prayer.